Okay, whenever you're ready, we'll read the title, the general title together, and also the title for this message together. Okay, ready? The cycle of our spiritual life, the eternal life. And life, we are going to touch the matter of life in this series of messages. So what is life? Of course, life is very mysterious. And our human life also is very mysterious. And how would you describe human life? George, can you come up, help me here? How would you define human life? Just consider it for a second. Yeah, I don't think there is other better way to describe human life by showing a human being. This is human life. You see it? Yeah, and based on what he can do, you know, how he reacts, all these other story of a human life. Thank you, George. And same thing with the divine life. And how do you define the divine life? And I want to just impress you that the divine life is not something abstract. It's not just a theory or thoughts, but it has been embodied in a person. Do you know this person? Who is this person? And you need to say boldly.
Jesus.
Hallelujah! Jesus is the embodiment of the divine life. Just as us, each individual here, is the embodiment of the human life, so Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the eternal life. You cannot find eternal life outside of Jesus Christ. Also, as I mentioned, life is mysterious, right? And human life is mysterious. How many of you have been misunderstood by someone? You just feel like no one can really understand you, right? Because human life is mysterious. Sometimes it's beyond what words can describe. It's just mysterious. Same thing, divine life, the eternal life, the life of God, the uncreated life, the incorruptible life is even more mysterious. That's why the unbelievers, they just don't understand the believers. They don't understand why we don't do certain things, why we don't say certain things, why we don't go certain places, or why we do certain things, or why we say certain things. Because we have the eternal life within us. Do you have this eternal life in you? I hope we all have. But we not just have it, take it for granted, but I want to impress you this morning that we have an eternal life. How about let's all open the verse, open your Bible to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Yeah, if you don't have your Bible, you can use your electronic version too. Just get to 1 John 5, 13 together. Ready, go. I have written these things to you, that you may know that you have eternal life, to you who believe into the name of the Son of God. Oh, how about we read it again one more time? Emphasize the phrase, you have eternal life. Okay, one more time. I have written these things to you, that you may know that you have eternal life. Brothers and sisters, we are not only having a human life, but we also have an eternal life. We have an eternal life. Amen. Brothers, do you have eternal life?
Amen.
Sisters, do you have an eternal life?
Amen.
Yeah, this is what makes us Christian. This is what makes us a believer. This one makes us God-man. We are not just man, but we are God-man. And what is God-man? Brother Felix, can you stand up? I have a few questions for you. Are you a man?
Amen.
Do you have God in you?
Amen, I do.
So what are you?
I'm a God-man.
Hallelujah. I know the brothers in the summer training use an exact illustration. But I just want to impress you. We are not just men, but we are God men. Yeah. Yeah. How did you receive this life? Just by believing, right? Like the verse said, believe into the name of the Son of God. Yeah, in him is the eternal life. When we believe into him, we receive this eternal life into us. So we should feel most privileged. We are the real VIP in the universe. Yeah, we should feel, in a sense, excited. Yeah, we are most blessed people because we have this eternal life with us. So since we have this eternal life, what should we do with it? Right? And we need to, especially, you are all college-age students, right? Most of you are from 17 to 22. You know what? This is the burden of this line here, that we need to learn how to treasure this life, appreciate this life, and develop a high interest in the matters of this life. Yeah, the life that I'm talking about here is not about our human life. It's about the eternal life, the life of God that we have received by our believing in the Lord Jesus. Yeah, we also need to have what? A focus with this life and show a high seriousness for this life and learn the lessons of life and practice to live and walk by this life. We have human life. But, you know, even in the human realm, many of you are focused on your interests. You have some interest in medicine, some interest in certain kinds of sports. You know, you give your time to it because you have the interest to it. But this week, we hope that you will develop or refresh your interest of this matter of the divine life, the eternal life. Young people, we are here not just to live a human life. We have been saved. We have the eternal life in us. Now, we need to give our focus. We have to have our focus on this divine life that we have received so that it can develop, it can grow unto maturity. And only this life can fulfill God's purpose. I tell you, that's why in Genesis chapter 1, after God created man, in his image so that man can express him, and also man was given dominion so man can represent God. This is the purpose, this is the meaning of human life, right? But right after that, in Genesis chapter 2, he showed us the way to fulfill this purpose, which is by the way of life. That's why God created man, and right after that, he put man in front of the tree of life. But I also want to tell you, Satan wants to distract you, wants to hinder you, wants to frustrate you from approaching this tree of life. That's what he did with Eve first, then with Adam. So man now cannot approach the tree of life. Man cannot receive the tree of life into them. That's why God's purpose cannot be fully fulfilled and carried out through man. But you know what? God never changed his purpose. He never changed the purpose that he has on man. Even though Satan tried to frustrate man from coming to the tree of life. But you know what? Because of God loved man, he himself as the tree of life now come to man. Because man cannot come to God. Now he, in the New Testament, this tree of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he came to man. Hallelujah. When he came, he is not coming as a moral man. He's not coming just as a kind of a man with a superpower, can do supernatural things. But he came The Gospel of John tells us that he came as life. He's the good shepherd. What? He gives life. And he gives it abundantly. He just not want to give you a package of life, but he wants to give you a whole amount of life. He wants to give you himself as life. But you know what? Satan's still hindering, frustrating us from receiving this life. He's not just frustrating the unbeliever from receiving this life to become a believer, but he also tried to frustrate the believers who have already received this life from receiving more abundance of this life, that they may grow in this life and be mature in this life, that God's eternal purpose can be fulfilled in and through this life. So how Satan do it? He tried to distract, create counterfeit of life, so that men got confused. Satan not just using the evil, sinful, negative things to distract men from life, but he also used good things, even biblical things, Christian things, to distract men from God as life. He can use, I have met some Christians, they are dear, genuine, beloved Christians, but their focus is not life. Their focus is what? Good behavior. Their focus is what? Doing a mission work. Their focus is what? Just to know the Bible knowledge. But not life. I hope that brothers and sisters, we are here. Our eyes can be opened. Our interests can be stirred up. Our focus can be, really have a focus on this matter of life.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad you have life?
Amen.
And we need to treasure this life. And cherish this life. Nourish this life. And let this life grow and develop. And so that's why when the apostles, when they write the epistles, you know, the big apostles that we know, Paul, Peter, and John, they wrote most part of the Bible, the New Testament, I mean. When Paul, his desire, you know what Paul's desire? His desire is to present all men full grown in Christ. Right? And John also has the same desire. And Peter likewise. So what is our desire? Our desire is also to be growing in this life. Mature in this life. I want to share with you what this life can do. Why we have to emphasize on this life so much. And actually, what is the Lord's recovery? The Lord's recovery is taking Christ as our life and the church as our living. This is the Lord's recovery. This is what set apart from a just mere a Christian work. We are here for Christ as our life and the church as our living. Without this life, there is no way for God to be able to carry out His eternal purpose, to reach His goal of building up the body of Christ and building up the church. Building up the church is not just by learning some people management skill. It's not just learning some organizational skill. We need life. How the bride of Christ can be prepared? Need the maturity of life. Christ cannot marry a little 2-year-old girl. He wants to marry a lady. Full grown, beautiful, prepared, adorned. What can overcome death? Only life. What can bring the Lord back? Don't you want the Lord to come back? Life, right? What can produce the smashing stone to smash all the human government to end this age? Also by the way of life, right? How can we cast Satan into the lake of fire? Life. He needs a man child. That means that child needs to become, to grow into man child, right? The man child is the one that cast Satan down from the air to the earth. Then eventually to the lake of fire. Right? And also this life eventually consummate the New Jerusalem. Can you see how much this life can do? Can you see how important is this life? Okay. With that, let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Amen. Okay, before I get into this Roman numeral point, I want you to read another verse from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 19. Okay, 1 Timothy 6, 19. Let's read that together with a strong spirit. Laying away for themselves a good foundation as a treasure for the future, that they may lay hold on that which is really life. Yeah, this verse really tells us what should our focus be. Right? We need to laying away for themselves a good foundation. Brothers and sisters, anything outside of this divine life, this eternal life, is not a good foundation. All other things are just sinking sand. Do you want to have your foundation on the sinking sand? No. Right? And also, this verse says what? For a treasure for the future. What is the real future? Many of you are thinking of your future when you retire. Right? Why you go to college? You want to make good money, right? Get a good education. Then, why you want to get good education, have a, you know, easy living, right? Have a good family. But what is that for? You have a good retirement later on. But that future is not future enough. That is only 30, 40, 50 years future. How about your next age? What your next age will be? That's what Paul is talking about. To Timothy, who was a young man at that time. May this verse also speak to us, all the young brothers and young sisters. Oh, our future is the next age. Right? Our future is to bring the Lord back, to lay hold on that which is really life. And actually, verse 20, I just go on with verse 20. To lay hold on this life, we need to guard the deposit. To guard is not to keep. To guard, that means it's something that is active. You don't want it to be taken away. You need to vigilant. You need to guard it. That means there is some kind of active activity involved here. Besides guarding, you also need to turn away. In order for us to lay hold on the eternal life, which is really life, we need to also turn away. Turn away from what? From profanity. From vanity. May we all have this desire within us. Lord, I want to gain you. I want to seek you as life. I want to experience you. I want to learn the lessons of life. I want to know your spirit. I want to cooperate with you. I do not want to grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit. I want to say amen when you speak within me. We all can learn this. We all can develop this in us. Okay, for Roman number 1, how about, okay, let's go on with point A. Eternal life issue in its fellowship. Like I mentioned earlier, eternal life is something that is mysterious. So the things that related to the eternal life also mysterious. I will not get into it too much on this point. Like fellowship of the eternal life is something quite deep, quite profound, quite mysterious. And later on in message 5, we will touch something called anointing. What is anointing? Right? It's quite mysterious. Yeah, but we will get to that this week. And hallelujah. So with this eternal life, it's not something, the eternal life is not passive. When this eternal life is in function, it becomes a fellowship. In brief, what is fellowship? Fellowship is just a mutual participation. We put aside all the other interests. We only have one common interest, to enjoy and experience this eternal life. By participating in this fellowship, we are richly supplied and constituted with the divine life. And then this divine life, this fellowship of the divine life, point B, the fellowship of the eternal life brings in the divine light. This is a spontaneous issue. When we are in the fellowship, we are brought to God who is light. In the light, we get exposed. In the light, we see the real condition of ourselves. We see the real condition of others. We see the real condition of the surrounding, of the circumstances. Aren't you glad we can be in the light? Hallelujah. We need to, this light only can come when we are in the fellowship of the divine light. So that we will not be self-deceived, especially with our own condition, of our wrongdoing, of our mistake, of our motive, of our intention. Many times we don't realize this until we come to the light. When we come to touch the divine light that is within us, then we realize where we are. And then C. How about sister read point C? Amen. So you have the divine life issue in the fellowship of life. The fellowship of life brought you to light, and the light brought you to cleansing of the blood. Well, I think I just stopped my portion here. I let Brother Josiah continue. About brothers, read point D.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going on to the maturity of life. So as we go on in this outline, aren't you impressed that God has a desire that He wants to accomplish? As Brother Lampson was sharing, didn't you feel this this desperation that we would not be distracted from God's way of life? Brothers and sisters, God's way to accomplish His purpose is life. And if we miss this, then we miss everything. If we miss God's way, then we really have missed the mark. So, brothers and sisters, what we're here for this week is not to miss the mark, but to focus and to concentrate on God's way of life. We want to know God's way of life. So, we have a lot to look forward to this entire week. This morning, I'm just going to share a little bit about this first point, which is the eternal life. This is so wonderful. Well, to tell you about the eternal life, I was considering how to share about the eternal life. And actually, the way that I think I'm going to start is, first of all, let's read Roman numeral 2 all together. The eternal life. There is a life which is really life. But this means there's also life which is not really life. So first, this morning, I wanted to kind of take a little walk with you. Who here is a high school senior that is going to enter into college for the first time this year? Okay. Wonderful. Well, for everyone else, you've been on a college campus. You've walked around on a college campus. For high school seniors who've just graduated, you've probably been on a college campus, but it's going to be a little bit different when you step on a college campus for the first time as a student. And I was just thinking about, what is it like to walk on a college campus? I remember the first time I did. It was very exciting. Wow, everything's new. Well, after 5 years in college, and now I guess there's another 7 years after that, for 12 years, I've been walking on college campuses. So that's a lot of walking. So I serve at UCLA, and every day I'm walking down toward the central area of campus. So it's called Bruin Walk. You walk down the central area. And as you're walking, there's hundreds, maybe thousands of people. You're all walking together. I think every college student, you have this experience. You know, you at UCLA, you have to watch out for the skateboarders, people who might not see you. You have to watch out for people who are too engrossed in their texting to look up and see that they're about to walk into you. But as you're walking, there's things on either side of you all the time. Okay, so you're walking, but there's things all around you. And I started to think about this first point. Let's read point A together. Life. So, brothers and sisters, as you walk on a college campus, you're actually surrounded by all of these things. You know, as I walk through Bruin Walk, there's always people who are, you know, passing out flyers, and they'll ask you, "Hey, do you care about world hunger? Or do you want to do something to improve literacy?" And of course, you know, you can't say no without sounding like a terrible person. But their goal is they want to get you involved in some kind of thing, some kind of cause. Because the world is full of people who are devoted. But God's way is not just devotion. There's also good behavior. There's groups on campus. There's people, religious groups. And they have excellent behavior. They're very good people, in a sense. Doesn't seem like there's any problem. And for many of us, that may be our thought of what it is to be a good Christian, to be pleasing to God or to the people that you're around. It may be mainly something of good behavior. I know for many years, this was my thought. You know, I kind of knew what I needed to do to make people happy. But you know what? God's way is not good behavior. There's also power and there's gift. Well, you know, in the Old Testament, Moses, right, was a very powerful person. He was performing miracles. But when he did, actually, Pharaoh had some magicians who could perform similar miracles. So if your trust is in miracles, eventually you might be disappointed, because God's way is not just power or gifts. It's not just finding some eloquent people. It's not just finding some people who are very capable and letting them work for God. That's not God's way. And we actually each need to be saved from each one of these things. And the last thing is the growth in knowledge. God's way, which is life, life is not the growth in knowledge. And this one is also, this can fool us. We might think, the more I know about the Bible, just knowing the Bible, if I can read the Bible, if I can read spiritual books, if I can just know what there is to know, that seems like that's God's way. Well, of course, we should know the Bible. We should love the Bible. But if we're just in the realm of knowledge, That is not life. The Jews searched the Scriptures. They looked all through the Bible. Some of them memorized the entire Bible. And when Christ was there, who is life, in front of them, they missed who He was. Because they were focused on knowledge rather than life. So as you're walking through your campus, in a couple weeks, a couple months, these things are going to be all around you. Devotion, knowledge. And it sounds very exciting and enticing. But I just want to show you a little bit another way. Another way to walk. And that is by the way of life. Praise the Lord. Eventually, these other ways that are not life, they don't lead anywhere. We're talking about the life cycle. This is a cycle of life. This whole week we're going to be talking about this cycle. And I just want to impress you that this cycle is not aimless. Has anyone in here ever had a hamster? Can you raise your hand if you've had a hamster? Okay. What do hamsters love to do? They love to run on their little wheel, right? They just love it. Actually, some scientists discovered if you put a hamster wheel in the wild, rodents will come and just run on the wheel, even if they've never seen it before. It's just something in them. They love to do it. Okay, that is pointless because you're not going anywhere. Okay? This cycle of life is not a hamster wheel. It has a beginning and it has a source in God Himself. The source of life is God Himself. So when we touch the life cycle, we're touching something that stretches back into eternity past, into the heart of God. But not only that, brothers and sisters, the life cycle stretches forward. It's what brings us, it's what propels us to the issue of life, which is the New Jerusalem. So this life cycle that we're on, oh, it's wonderful, brothers and sisters. Oh, it brings us into the heart of God. Into God's accomplishment. Okay, so B, life is not our human life. Our human life, our bios and our psuche is mortal, but life, Zoe life, is eternal. Then C, kind of begins this way. Life is God Himself. In Deuteronomy 30, these verses tell us that here you have a choice between blessing and cursing. Life and death. Therefore, choose life. And then this verse in Deuteronomy 30, it says, He is your life and the length of your days. Also, a very important verse is Ephesians 4:18. If you have your Bible, let's read Ephesians 4:18 together. Turn to Ephesians 4:18. And the background of this verse is that we realize, as you're walking to campus, you'll realize many other people are walking around, but they may not see their walk the same way that you do. Why is that? Let's read Ephesians 4:18. Being darkened. Okay. God is life. If we are alienated from God, which every human being is because of the fall of man, then we just don't see it. It doesn't make any sense to us. We're ignorant. And even we harden ourselves against God. You may speak to many people who are hardened against God. Well, brothers and sisters, don't worry. Life can conquer even this hardness of the human heart. Life is God Himself. You know, God desires to see His life. And for eternity past, there was God. God created the universe. He brought in time. And at a certain point, for so long, God was God was there. He, as the source of life, is waiting to flow out. But in the whole universe, there was no one that had His life. Until, let's read point D. Life is Christ. Until there was a man on the earth, Jesus Christ. A man who could say, John 14:6. What does John 14:6 say? I am the way. Yeah, amen. Let's say it together. I am the way, the reality, and the life. John 14:6 is a wonderful verse. Because this Christ is life. The divine, uncreated life of God, waiting to flow out, finally flowed into a man. Jesus Christ. Well, then the next step is, life is the Holy Spirit. Eventually, this man passed through the process of death, resurrection, and now as the Holy Spirit, He can come into every single one of us. Romans 8:2 says that the law of the Spirit of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death. Paul wrote about this law in Romans almost 2,000 years ago. And for almost 2,000 years, the Spirit of life has been freeing people who were in bondage. It's been enlivening those who were dead. This is the Spirit of life. This is God's way of life. Eventually we have F. Life is the triune God dispensed into us and living in us. God the Father is the source of life. God the Son is the embodiment of life. And the Spirit is the flow of life. So this source, finally, as our brother mentioned, embodied in a person, Jesus Christ. Now, because as the Spirit can flow into each one of you. Then let's all read the second point, 2 under F. Doesn't that sound enjoyable? You know, if you've ever been in a situation that's full of, that's really, really dark, you really appreciate light. We have light all around us. We take it for granted. But God is the light of life. And we may not appreciate so much this life. Maybe if you grew up as a Christian, you may not have as much appreciation, maybe if you grew up in a Christian home, is what I meant to say, and you became a Christian at a young age, you may not have as much of a sense of appreciation of this light until maybe you have some friends, you're around some people, and you realize in their life, they're not sure where they're going. They're not sure where their direction is because there's darkness, because there's not the light of the life of God. But brothers and sisters, God's way is life. So He's light. He's the tree of life. He's for us to eat. Aren't you so happy that this life is not just for you to study? It's not just for you to be drilled about. This is a life for you to eat. It's also a life for you to drink. The Spirit is the wonderful flowing river of life. Okay, so this leads us into point 3. Let's read point 3 all together. All the believers in Christ? Yes! This life is for every believer. So this life is for everyone in this room. I believe you're all believers. Believers in Christ, you have life. So we want to look at what this life means when it flows out from God and flows to us. Okay, A says that the eternal life was released through Christ's death and imparted to the believers in Christ's resurrection. We are so thankful to the Lord for dying on the cross, for shedding His blood, and also through that death, releasing His life so that it could be imparted into you and me. Praise the Lord! For this reason, we're not just mournful that Christ died, but we are rejoicing that His life was released through His death and resurrection. Then B, the eternal life was received by the believers through believing into the Son. This is so wonderful. You know, as you're with a friend, as you're in your classes and you get to know people, and you begin to realize this person does not have the light of life and isn't sure where he's going. He's not sure what he's doing with himself, what his life is for. Brothers and sisters, we have the wonderful privilege, and we'll get into that eventually in the gospel line, to help people receive the divine life. You know, we've received this divine life. I hope we would appreciate it more and more, even this morning. But we also should appreciate it by helping others to receive it. This is as simple as helping others to call on the name of the Lord, to believe. That's to receive. If there's, if you wonder, how can I receive this life? One of the clearest ways is in John 1, 12 and 13. We'll get to those verses in a little bit. It says, there it puts believing together with receiving. As long as you believe in Christ, you've received the eternal life. Okay, and then these next points are really really crucial about where we are right now. Okay, so I think everyone in here has had the experience of receiving the eternal life. But these next three points are very crucial. Let's read point C all together. So Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, our life, is manifested. Brothers and sisters, when we believe Christ, this eternal life becomes our life. God is the source of life, but through our believing, this life becomes our life. So tell the person you're sitting next to, Christ, your life. Okay, now tell someone else, Christ, your life. Christ, your life. Now all together, Christ, our life. Christ, our life. One more time, Christ, our life. I hope you'd all be impressed. Christ is our life. So right now, we can experience this life. Not just in our experience of receiving the Lord in salvation, but today, Christ is our life. Then point D says that the believers are being saved in the eternal life. Okay, so we, not only is Christ our life, but every day, this life is going to do wonderful things. Brothers and sisters, this life is going to change you. It's going to save you. Nothing else can save you but this life. And there's many good things in the ministry reading, even being saved about your temper, being saved from many things that we have some power over us. Only Christ's life can save us. Not better behavior, not better a better attempt to know more of the Bible. Life saves. And then E says the eternal life that the believers have received enthrones them as kings to reign over all things. And here again, I hope we would all be impressed. Actually, the life within you is a reigning life. We only see it a little bit today, but a little bit here and there we can begin to see. Yeah, the life within me actually is a reigning life. It rules over things in me. It rules over my flesh. It rules over the things that would frustrate me from giving myself completely to God. Not mainly our thought of reigning might be to rule over others. First, this life is to reign over sin. It's to reign over the problem of our flesh. And yes, it's even to reign over the enemy. Praise the Lord. This is the life that's in us. Well, this is where we are today. Christ is our life. We're being saved. And this is for reigning in life. This is what's happening. Okay, so this is the cycle, right? We're going to cover the cycle this whole week, what's happening in the cycle. But I just want to tell you also, point you a little bit to this cycle is going somewhere. And this going somewhere is in the next two points. F says, the believers need to lay hold on the eternal life in this age so that they may inherit eternal life in the next age. Brothers and sisters, we have something to inherit. The more that we're in this cycle of life, the more we're growing in our experience of the divine life, it's taking us somewhere, not just in our life today, but it's taking us into the next age, into a full enjoyment of the wonderful eternal life. And then G, let's read G all together. The believers. Isn't this wonderful? This cycle has gone from God Himself. This eternal life of God Himself has come to you so that Christ is our life. And as we're enjoying this life, as we're partaking of this life, this will just flow us into the next age. And it will just flow us into eternity. This is the cycle that we're on. So this is purposeful. This is full of intent. And it's full of a wonderful issue, the New Jerusalem. Praise the Lord for life.